Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome aboard Conversations with the Queen, where I am. Because we are all. But most of all,
I am gifted. I am all of this. And indeed, the shit.
Peace and love. You are now tuned into the frequency of Conversations with the Queen, where holistic health, music, art, and life converge to create mental stimulation for your listening pleasure.
Good, it's Tay Queen, and you are on air live with Conversations with the Queen. Today's show, we will be discussing Kemetic Yoga for Total Self-Mastery, featuring Yasir Rahotep. But before we get into that, I would like to invite you to visit conversationswiththequeen.wordpress.com, which is the launch of our new blog. Yay! Everybody clap, make imaginary clap noises to yourself. And today is our official blog launch, and we also have a lovely, lovely contest going on over there. So if you want to go over there, check it out. Again, it's conversationswiththequeen.wordpress.com. Excuse me, I'm so used to our old blog, .wordpress.com. And, of course, just search the official blog launch, and you should bring up the contest, and you can enter over there for a chance to win a free 2014 Black History Calendar. So definitely go on over there, get acquainted with that. Three lucky people will be able to win that. All right? We also want to start off with our weekly affirmation, as we do every show. And our weekly affirmation for this week is, I am full of life and abundant energy. I bring healing and love everywhere I go. Ashe. And you'll be able to find that weekly affirmation and other weekly affirmations from previous shows on conversationswiththequeen.wordpress.com. And just go over there and bring it up. Okay, so our yoga pose for the month of March is going to be the Tekken pose, and I normally would go into a brief description, but I'm going to have our guest come on and give you guys a brief description of that pose and how you can get into it, or, you know, all those lovely benefits that this pose has, as most yoga poses do, as all yoga poses do, matter of fact. So we'll be able to discuss that and all of the other information there. So before we get right into the show, I just want to give a couple announcements. All right, Gemini Creations is having an Everything Has to Go sale, and that's 50% off. We have 5 days left on the sale, and that's, again, at Gemini, G-E-M-I-N-E-Y-E, Creations, creation spelled correctly, .newshop, newshop.com. And you can go on head over there and actually check out our 50% off sale. And you get 50% off with this coupon code, which is GG432. If you want to get more information about that, facebook.com/Gemini Creations. You should also be posted on facebook.com/conversationswiththequeen, where you can catch all of the instantaneous information about Conversations with the Queen. We also have another awesome great lecture coming up from Hidden History Online. And shout out to everybody who supported last night's lecture. I heard it was an awesome turnout and a great, great event. So thank you to everybody who came out and showed love. This next event will be with Dr. Aleem Bey, and it's called The Return of the Moors. So this will be in Brooklyn on March 30th, and it will be again at the Restoration Plaza, and that's 1368 Fulton Street, Brooklyn, New York. And you'll be able to get more information on all of that on facebook.com/conversationswiththequeen. You can check our events folder in the photo section. You can also check out facebook.com/GeminiCreatress, and you'll be able to get the information there as well. So if anybody's interested in learning more about this lecture, definitely go over there. And if you're interested in vending or purchasing a ticket, you can email mel@brooklynmagi@yahoo.com. Again, that's Brooklyn, everything spelled correctly, Magi, MAGI@yahoo.com. So now that all of that lovely information is out of the way, we're going to get the show started. All right, peace and welcome to everybody who's just tuned in on the live stream. We see y'all, and more people are coming in, so welcome to everybody. All right, so peace, Yusi, are you on the line?
Peace, Ty Queen, how you doing?
I'm great, how are you?
I'm doing excellent.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
It's so great to have you on. Yay, we finally got through.
It's great to be here, and it's wonderful to hear your voice.
Oh, yours as well. And for those who might not be as familiar with your work as the rest of us are, just introduce yourself and let my listening audience know a little bit more about who you are.
Well, my name is Yusair Rahotep, and for close to the last 40 years, I've been teaching and practicing Kemetic Yoga. And I was fortunate enough to be amongst the original group of people here in Chicago who did the research into Kemetic Yoga, and helped to develop the system that, you know, it is now known as Kemetic Yoga. I'm also a professor at DePaul University, where I teach courses in yogic science, as well as stress management and wellness and comparative religious and philosophical systems. I was born in Chicago. I don't know. What else do you want to know?
I think that's enough for everybody. So pretty much just get the gist. He's definitely an expert on this Kemetic Yoga. And would you like to share a little bit of why you chose to name the show Kemetic Yoga for Total Self-Mastery?
Well, my conception of yoga is that it is a system of self-development as opposed to simply being something that you do to relax or something that you do to stretch your body or to get stronger or things like that. I think that the way yoga has been sort of marketed on a mass level oftentimes limits what is, what the true effect of it is, what the true potential that you can gain from the practice. And so the way I've always learned yoga and the way I've always practiced and taught yoga was that it's a system of self-development. And the goal that you have in your life is to become a master of yourself. The more you're able to gain control and master your emotions, your thoughts, and your behavior, the more that you're able to create success that you seek in your life, in your personal life, in your professional life, and so on and so forth. So the measure of how successful you are and how happy you are is going to be the degree to which you have mastered yourself and gained that internal self-control. And so that's the perspective that Kemetic Yoga has always been from the beginning of time when Kemetic Yoga was practiced in ancient Kemet and before. And that's the conception, that's the methodology that, you know, that I teach it from.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Makes a lot of sense. So let's start really, really basic. For those who might not be familiar with Kemetic Yoga, what exactly is Kemetic Yoga?
Well, most people know what yoga is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some people, they feel that even using the word yoga itself may not be the most appropriate word to use in terms of describing what kemetic yoga is. But first of all, I use the term kemetic yoga simply mm-hmm. because I want people to know what I'm talking about. And so when people think about yoga, they generally think about meditation, they think about movements and postures, they think
yeah.
about learning how to concentrate, learning how to relax. And all of those things are encompassed in kemetic yoga, but the word yoga itself, that's a Sanskrit word, which comes from India. But our conception of yoga comes from Africa. It comes from ancient Egypt or Kemet. And so kemetic yoga is the specific system of yoga practice and philosophy and science. They came from our ancestors in ancient Kemet. And so when we look at the various artifacts from ancient Egypt or Kemet, when we look at the different texts, when we look at the paintings and the carvings that we see on the walls of the temple, we see, number one, we see posture. So most of the time when people think about yoga, they think about the movements and postures. So we see actual yoga positions that are commonly not recognized as being yoga positions. We also see symbols that relate back to yogic philosophy. Okay? So we see symbols such as the serpent. The serpent that we see in ancient Kemet, the pharaoh would wear a serpent on his forehead. We see the serpent motif in various different types of symbols, very prominently in ancient Kemet. That serpent always represents the idea of life force, the idea of internal energy. In India, they use the term kundalini.
Hmm.
And the kundalini represents that internal energy, that internal life force, which yoga practitioners in general try to stimulate and generate to move through the body in order to have a transformative experience.
Hmm.
And so kemetic yoga is recognizing the similarities and the differences between what we see in India and what we know to have taken place in Africa and what takes place in Africa now in terms of African spirituality.
Hmm.
And so kemetic yoga, it has various different levels to it. It has various different aspects to it.
Yes, definitely. It's a great experience and definitely a great breakdown on what kemetic yoga is. So how is kemetic yoga discovered?
Well, obviously our ancestors developed kemetic yoga thousands of years ago. No one knows how old the practice of yoga really is. But obviously it's something that was developed and practiced by ancestors thousands of years ago. What I call the rediscovery of kemetic yoga or those internal practices of self-development that was practiced by ancestors, I say that there are two strands that exist in the world today. The one that exists within the United States was rediscovered and sort of developed by my teacher, Dr. Azar Hapi, and myself back during the 1970s. And so what happened was that as being people who practiced yoga, but also being people who were conscious of being African and conscious of the fact that civilization, religion, science, technology, everything that we call civilization began in ancient Kemet, we already knew that yoga had to have had an ancient Egyptian or Kemetic or ancient African origin. And so we decided to do the primary research to learn how to read the Vodou Nature, or what they call hieroglyphic language, which is a system of picture writing that was used, and then be able to use that information to decipher the movements and postures that we saw, and to analyze the different symbols that you see on the various artifacts in the various texts, and to connect that and compare that with what is known as yoga is coming out of India. And so through that primary research process, we was able to discover what types of movements and postures that was done in ancient Kemet, and what the symbols are that are associated with those things. And so we were able to also figure out how to do the movements and postures, because when you see the postures drawn or carved in you know, on the walls of the temples or various places like that, they don't have any instructions on how are you supposed to go into this posture, how are you supposed to go out of this posture, how are you supposed to breathe. So all of that had to be figured out, and so we figured that out by understanding, number one, that in ancient Kemet, they use a principle called geometry, right? And so we know that everything that is in Kemet is based upon geometry. So we also know the term sacred geometry, right? And we know that the body has a certain geometry, and that in order to get certain energy to be released and move it flow through the body, that the body has to be able to go through a certain geometric pattern. So we figured out the pattern, and we also figured out how the breath is supposed to be connected, how the breath should move in connection with those patterns. And so we use a system which we call rule of four breathing. So we divide every breath into four parts, and we combine that with geometric progression, which is a certain way of going through movements and postures, with the understanding of how the biomechanics, the mechanics of how the body is supposed to move to get the best optimal performance on the body, and also how the breath is supposed to move in relationship to it in order to move energy, to move life force to the body. So when we practice Kemetic Yoga, in terms of the physical movements and postures, we are trying to move energy. We're trying to move life force through the energy channels, through the centers and the channels through which energy moves through the body. And so our system is based upon the precise understanding of what's called spiritual anatomy. Spiritual anatomy takes into account how the energy channels are structured within the body, where they're located, and how energy is supposed to move. So, it was sort of a long, involved process, but that's how it was sort of developed. And basically, one of the keys that we had was when the King Tut exhibit came to Chicago during the 1970s, and there was a chair where it was part of the exhibit. They had a posture called the Pose of Immortality. And if you look on my Facebook page or you look on my website page, you see me doing that posture. That's like the signature Kemetic Yoga posture called the Pose of Immortality. And so the false mortality is a name that we gave it because it represents the pursuit of immortality. We as individual people, we as human beings, we're pursuing the idea of becoming immortal. And how do we do that? We do that through our internal practice.
Definitely. Great information being given. We do have 40 minutes left on the live stream, and at the halfway point, we will open up the lines to begin taking in calls. The call number is 917-932-8881. You'll be able to speak directly with Yasir Rahotep, and we're talking about Kermetic Yoga for Total Self-Mastery. All right, so we've talked a little bit about what Kermetic Yoga is, well, a lot of it, and we've talked about how it's discovered, of course. So what are some of the benefits that you found from using Kermetic Yoga?
One of the biggest benefits is simply learning how to control my emotions. So people that kind of know me well know that even though I do yoga and everything, I have a sort of intense personality. But before I learned yoga, I was my personality had a lot of anger. It had a lot of just intensity to it, you know. And so through my practice of yoga, I learned how to take my mind, take my thoughts, take that energy and move it in a very positive direction. Okay? And so it basically taught me self-control and taught me how to direct my energy so that it doesn't burn me out or dissipate, but so that I can actually put it to productive use. Along with that, you know, you get the basic things like learning how to relax. And learning relaxation skills is very important because most of illness, most disease that people have is the fact that they are under stress and they don't really know how to manage stress or how to relieve stress. And so simply learning how to breathe properly, how to simply breathe in slowly, breathe out slowly, scan your body, check your body for tension, and release that tension is important, you know, just to maintain your overall health. But another feature of Kermetic Yoga that's been very beneficial to me is that I've always felt that I've had a connection with my ancestors. When I practice yoga, I feel connected to my own ancestors. I feel that the ancestors are actual spiritual beings, spirit entities that used to be in human form, but now they exist in an energetic form. And because of the fact that they are my ancestors, I can still maintain that connection and relationship with them. So when I meditate, part of my process of meditation is to maintain that connection, is to make that connection and get that communication with my ancestors. And so I think that's one of the key features that sort of separates Kermetic Yoga from other forms of yoga that simply tell you to go into, like, the land of bliss or nothingness and things like that. We actually want to be connected and merged with the divine energies, the divine forces of the universe, which we can call our ancestors, and we can also call the Netaru, which are not the ancestors, but are actually the energetic forces that exist in nature, that exist in the universe.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I mean, great point. Definitely great points. So we've talked a bit about the benefits, you know, why you've chosen Kermetic Yoga and how it's helped you personally. So I want to ask a bit about why you've chosen to use Kemetic Yoga over other systems of yoga, or over other systems of yoga.
Well, personally, I like yoga, right? I like to do yoga, period. And I would I would be doing yoga whether I was doing hatha yoga or whatever type of yoga that is. There's some different styles of yoga that, of course, I prefer over others. But yoga in general is a good thing to practice. And so I don't have anything against, you know, any other types of yoga. But I prefer Kemetic yoga because, number one, it's something that comes from myself. It's something that was created by my ancestors. My ancestors do not come from India. There are some key differences between Kemetic yoga and the Indian system of yoga. Not necessarily bad or good, but just things which are different. Mm-hmm. And so the Kemetic yoga resonates with my spirit more than any other type of yoga.
Mm-hmm.
Also, what we have formulated that I call the yoga skills method of Kemetic yoga, I think goes into the heart of how yoga should be practiced. And so again, we get back into the concept of rule of four breathing and geometric progression. So when you look at the different postures of Kemetic yoga, for example, right, you see that in ancient Kemet, that they did lotus position, which is very common in all yoga, right? They did backward bending poses. They did shoulder stand, plow position, you know, various different postures that they did, which are common to whether you're in Indian yoga or ancient Kemetic or African yoga. But in Kemetic yoga, we have some very unique poses that only the ancestors in ancient Kemet were doing. And some of those poses are very, you know, like they're very geometrical. They put a lot of emphasis on opening up the joints in a systematic way. They put a lot of emphasis on spinal alignment and on moving the energy through the energy channels that corresponds to the spine, and to move the energy through those energy channels with the spine, and also moving that energy through the arms and into the hands and down the legs into the feet, and creating a greater energy emanation from the body, meaning that your internal energy is becoming greater. So what people commonly comment to me is that I have been doing yoga for many years, and I've done all these other forms of yoga, but when I do Kemetic yoga, I really feel this energy flowing, because Kemetic yoga is not just saying this is how you stretch your muscles and this is how you build up your core strength. You know, you're going to get stretchy, you're going to get core strength development, all those type of things through your practice, but that's not what the emphasis is on. The emphasis is on controlling your breath and controlling the flow of life force and energy as it moves through your body. And so it's that control of the life force, that stimulation of the life force, and causing the life force to move and to cleanse all of what I just call the gunk out of your energy channels. And that gunk is like energetic waste matter, energetic like mucus or phlegm that clogs up your energy channels, you know. And so you want to be able to cleanse that out so that you can reach your optimum level of spiritual consciousness. And so Kemetic yoga puts emphasis on that, you know. And so those are just some of the basic reasons why I gravitate towards Kemetic yoga. But any type of yoga that a person does is going to be beneficial to them in their, you know, in many, many, many ways, especially from a health or wellness perspective.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I noticed that by utilizing comedic yoga myself, I immediately felt the energy. Like, following your instructions when you're saying you should feel the energy in your hands, I'm like, oh, snap, I feel energy in my hands. Like, it's a really, really effective system. So it's definitely something that anybody who's interested should check out. And that brings us to our next question, which is about your company. So what is Yoga Skills?
Well, Yoga Skills is my company name. My website is yogaskills.com. And Yoga Skills is a term that I coined probably sometime in the 1990s, because I was trying to think of a name for my website, right? And so I wrote about 5 pages of names. I just went through a whole list of all these different names to try to figure out which name should I use. Mm-hmm. And then I was talking to one of my twin sons, who is a dancer and a martial artist and all these, you know, he has all these different skills, right? And so he said, Daddy, I got mad skills. And I said, mad skills? I said, what does mad skills mean? That means like you crazy, you mad? What are you talking about, mad skills? He said, no, that just means I'm good at what I do. And I said, oh, well, I got yoga skills. And so I named my business Yoga Skills, and I chose yogaskills.com as my website name. And so essentially what yoga skills are the skills that you should gain, the personal development skills that you should gain through your practice of yoga. So when you practice yoga, you should learn, for example, patience. You should become a more patient person. You should become a more tolerant person. You should have a better degree or higher degree of ability to concentrate and to focus, which in turn should help you become a better student. Whether you're in school or not, it's not the issue. It's like, are you able to study and learn information and to apply that information? Those are things, are the effects. Those yoga skills are the effects that you should gain through your practice. And so you should also, gain better health, better well-being. You should become more productive in everything that you do. You should become more empowered in everything that you do. So if you're practicing yoga, but your life is languishing, you're not being productive, you're not being successful in things that you're trying to do, then are you really truly doing yoga, or are you just stretching your muscles? Or are you just relaxing a little bit? So yoga is supposed to have a transformative effect. And so that's the idea behind yoga skills. I want to apply the competencies that I gained through my practice with my mind and my body and my spirit. I want to have these different changes actually make a difference in my life. So I want to have more life skills, basically. That's what yoga skills are. They're life skills.
Definitely.
And so with my business, I don't know if you've been asking this too, with my business, the things that I do is that we have yoga classes, of course. We do yoga workshops, comedic yoga workshops and lectures. But a lot of what we do is yoga retreats and yoga and comedic yoga teacher training programs. So we have like probably the foremost comedic yoga teacher training program, which is in existence, where we train people to become comedic yoga instructors. And not only do they learn how to become comedic yoga instructors, they also learn how to become stress management consultants. They learn how to teach yoga to children, how to teach yoga to senior citizens, how to work with people who are substance abusers, because all of those are things that we use as yoga skills to help people, So a lot of the emphasis with my business, yoga skills, is helping to put more teachers out there, more people who can go out into the community or go out into the world at large and have the credentials backed up by, like, a Yoga Alliance type of registry and be able to go out into the world and spread Kinetic Yoga for the benefit of people. And that's one of the big emphases that we have with Yoga Skills.
Definitely. So we have 24 minutes left on the live stream. If you have any comments or questions, we definitely are talking about Kinetic Yoga for total self-mastery. I mean, some great information has been shared about how Kinetic Yoga can help you personally, help you help others, and help you improve your life. So if you have any comments or questions, again, the call-in number is 917-932-8881. And you can raise your hand by pressing 1 so we know that you are on the queue and you have a question. If you're already called in, you can just press 1 and we'll know that you have a question. I'm going to pause for a short music break, and then we'll be right back with Yasir Rahotep speaking on Kinetic Yoga for Total Self-Mastery.
This is what we're talking about here. One, you went to school to become a god.
CityHampton.bandcamp.com. Again, we are opening the We are opening the lines so that if you have any comments or questions, you can call in with your comments or questions. And again, that number is 917-932-8881. Don't be shy. All right. We're still here live with Yesir Rahotep talking about Kemetic Yoga for total self-mastery. All right. So we spoke a bit about yoga skills, and I love that story, by the way. That's actually really cute. So how does Kemetic Yoga help someone? And I think you briefly touched on this throughout the other points, but I just want to emphasize it. How does Kemetic Yoga help someone beyond just the practice of yoga?
Well, it helps us on various levels. The way that I look at the practice of yoga is that it should affect you on 4 or 5 different levels. And those 4 or 5 different levels basically encompass every aspect of what I feel makes up a person or makes up a person's being. So everybody that's walking around on the earth today, they have a physical body. And so the physical body is affected by the physical environment. It's affected by gravity. It's affected by the atmosphere. It's affected by, the climate, so on and so forth. And so we have to do something that affects the physical body, which means the muscular system and the skeletal system. So the practice of yoga, number one, or the practice of Kemetic Yoga, number one, is going to affect the muscular skeletal system in terms of keeping it aligned properly, because we must have a straight spine, we must have proper posture, so that all the nerves, all the blood vessels, all the organs that are connected to the physical body are able to function, in the proper way that they're supposed to function. The next level is looking at the internal organs and the internal physiology of the body. So the movements and postures that we do affect the internal systems, digestion, elimination, blood circulation, nervous system, respiratory system, all of those different, the endocrine system, all of those different systems within the body are being affected, in a positive way when we're doing those movements and postures. When we do certain postures, the internal organs are being massaged, they're being squeezed to get fresh blood into them, and so on and so forth. The next level is looking at the energetic level. So once we remove our awareness from the physical body, we become aware that we have a non-physical body. And so various traditions and various philosophies use different terms to describe that non-physical body. I'm just going to use the term astral body. So we have an astral body, or we can also say bioenergetic body. We have an energy body which corresponds to our physical body, which is not visible on an X-ray, not visible on an MRI machine, but it is the energetic body. It's the energy body. It's the spirit body. And so that body is composed of different organs and different systems, just like the physical body is. Mm-hmm. And that energy body actually is what manifests a physical body. Energy moves through the energy channel. So think of energy channels as being like blood vessels, right? Mm-hmm. Blood has to move through the veins and through the various vessels, the capillaries and so on and so forth. We have a similar system of the body, which is in India, they use the word nadi, N-A-D-I, to describe those energy channels. In Chinese medicine, they use the word meridian to describe those energy channels. Then we have the idea of the chakras. Those are the energy centers or the energy wheels that most people think of, the seven chakras that correspond to various points along the spinal column of the body, okay? Mm-hmm. Based on the base of your spine all the way up to the crown of your head. So those are some of the components that make up the non-physical or the energetic body. And those systems are affected by the foods that we eat. They're affected by the level of activity that we have, meaning that if we're not actively moving around or doing something physical with the body, the non-physical body, the energetic body, is going to suffer negative consequences. It's going to suffer stagnated energy.
Hmm.
Okay, energy is not going to be able to flow properly. If we have negative, self-defeating, anxious thoughts, worry thoughts, anxiety thoughts, those negative thoughts create like a toxin. They permeate into that energy body that blocks the flow of energy, okay? Mm-hmm. And so when energy cannot flow, when energy becomes stagnated, we have dis-ease or disease. Mm-hmm. And when that energy becomes stagnated, it manifests eventually over time beyond just stagnating energy, but into a physical symptom that we can see with the eyes, but we can experience in our physical body. And we call that, oh, I'm sick for some reason, or I have a mental illness for some reason, or emotional distress. So yoga is working on all of those levels, right? So on that physical, on that structural level, on the internal system level, and on the bioenergetic level. Then we have the level of the mind. The mind is also part, the mind and consciousness is also connected and integrated in with those other three levels of our being. Okay? So our consciousness, our thoughts affect every other aspect of ourselves, even more so than what we may really realize or understand. Every thought that we have can either create a positive healing effect within ourselves, or it can create a negative toxic effect within ourselves on a physical level or on an energetic level. Negative toxic thoughts can block the flow of energy. So we want to control, so we learn through the practice of controlled deep breathing, and we learn through the practice of meditation, and we learn through the practice of doing our movements and postures in a relaxed and calm and focused manner, how to control our emotions, how to eliminate negative thoughts and replace them with positive thoughts. So then the mind or our consciousness becomes something which is actually giving us life as opposed to something which is robbing us of life. So then the next level is our spiritual connection. What is our spiritual connection with the universe? What is our spiritual connection with other beings, other spirits that we have to inhabit our environment with, you know? What is our spiritual connection with our ancestors? And what is our spiritual connection and our sense of oneness with nature? So the ancient Kemetic word for the creator is nature, right? So you see it commonly spelled NTR. But that's where the word nature comes from. Mm-hmm. And so our nature is to be in Ma'at, meaning that we're in harmony, we want to be in balance, we want to be at one-ment with that creative force within the universe. And so that's what we're seeking to get from our practice, ultimately, is that sense of at one-ness with the universe, with our ancestors, with the forces of nature, and to understand the various aspects of how these different forces within nature, which we which our ancestors gave various names to, how we need to interact with those forces and be in harmony with them. And so that's sort of like a synopsis, that's like a brief synopsis of how, you know, how Kemetic Yoga views the world. You know, that's the worldview that we operate from. And one thing that I want to say too before I want to say that there are some, you know, there is some information that people say, well, sometimes when people talk about Kemetic Yoga, they simply take Indian and Buddhist philosophy and they superimpose it over ancient Kemetic, right? Mm-hmm. So, for example, some people say, well, the ancient Egyptian Sphinx, or what they call, or what is called Heru Amket, represents the part of it which is like the lion, represents the lower animal self, and the part of it which is the head, which is the human head, represents the higher consciousness. But that is not true. That is like a false dichotomy or false understanding of what that Heru Amket or that Sphinx represent, because people in ancient Africa do not view the world from the perspective of there's a higher self and there's a lower self which are in conflict and in battle with each other. So we view the world as, so we view from our Kemetic Yoga perspective is that we have various aspects of ourselves which need to be in, which need to be in harmony, but each aspect of ourselves plays a purpose, plays a role. And so when you see the Sphinx or the Heru Amket, what you're seeing is that you're seeing that human head taking on the energy or the qualities or the personality, the best aspects of what that lion represents. So the lion represents royalty. The lion represents courage. And the lion represents strength. Plus, it has something to do with the constellation of Leo and other things like that that go way beyond what we're going to be talking about, you know. But it has nothing to do with higher self and lower self, or we have an animal nature. All of that type of thinking comes from Hinduism, and that's what needs to be differentiated when we start to analyze the philosophy of Kemetic Yoga.
Definitely. Right, just like bringing up some truth and some information that needs to be shared, and also, again, showing why we're having you speak about Kemetic Yoga. All right, so we have 6 minutes left on the live stream, so if you have any questions, you should call in now. And the call number is 917-932-8881. It's been an amazing show, and we definitely had some love given from the chat room. Sisters Unwise, she said that she just became certified in Kemetic Yoga in Jamaica and feels that the entire experience was transforming in her own being. So she felt completely rejuvenated and energized when she got back home, and she just wanted to share a little bit of that. So we thank you for sharing your experience with Kemetic Yoga. And she says she recommends it for everybody who's a beginner to advanced. So she really, really is giving a lot of praise to your certification program as well. But I do want to allocate a moment to talk about that, but really quickly, we had a question from last week. The brother had talked a little bit about him wanting to get his children involved in yoga, and he was concerned about getting his son involved in yoga because he didn't want his son to take on any feminine qualities, and I find that that's a really big misconception about yoga. So my question really quickly is Kemetic Yoga for everyone, and how so?
Yeah, that whole idea that yoga is something which is feminine, or you have to be flexible in order to do yoga, you know, I find it very interesting anyway that people, you know, have those misconceptions. First of all, yoga is for everybody. For ever since 1979, I've been teaching yoga to children. My own children who are in their 30s now, you know, I started them off when they were babies, you know, putting their bodies into the different yogic positions. One of my colleagues, brother named Ankh Aku, he just posted his picture of his daughter, you know, doing a kinetic yoga posture, and she's, you know, probably less than 3 years old. Yoga is for everybody, boys, girls, whatever age that you start your child at in practicing yoga, you are going to bring out what Brother Ankh Aku says is the natural brilliance of the child. Our children are naturally brilliant. They're naturally genius. And we do them an extreme disservice if we don't get them into doing things like yoga, meditation, teaching them the principles of how the mind works. You know, if you buy a car, most people, even though I know a lot of people don't, look at the owner's manual to try to figure out, well, how does this car supposed to work, right? But we don't know anything about how our bodies work or how our minds work. And so we're moving through life in this vehicle, which we call the body, and we have this mind, this brain, and we don't even know how it operates. We don't even know the different components. We don't know the structure. We don't know the principles of how we're supposed to operate using our bodies and our minds. And so yoga is extremely beneficial. In fact, it's fundamental to child development. Children are natural yogis. When you are in the womb, you are in the child pose, right? When you lay up in the crib as an infant, you're often laying in the child pose, you know, which is sort of curled up with the knees underneath you. It's very comforting. And so we teach children how to just put themselves into the child pose and just stay in that position for a period of time to help them to get calm, to calm their internal organs, to take tension out of their back and just help them to relax and stay focused. So, you know, so things that are very simple. Children do not need to learn a lot of flexibility. When you're teaching yoga to children, your focus is on helping them to gain self-control, control over their body and control over their thoughts and their emotions. But you teach them how to become still. You teach them how to stay focused, how to stay calm. And so what you're doing is that when you're teaching them how to stay calm and focused, you are actually training their nervous system to not react and respond to negative external stimuli, but to stay centered and focused so that they're not becoming distracted by other kids or by things on TV or even thoughts that may pop up into their mind. And so we're actually making more intelligent, more ingenious children when we teach them yoga. It makes a huge difference when you go into a classroom with children who have been practicing yoga and children who have not. From the physical perspective, as our young people get older and they start to engage in athletics, so they start to engage in martial arts, African dance, various sports, gymnastics, so on and so forth, they need to have a foundation in yoga because, number one, it gives them mind-body integration. It helps them with hand-eye coordination. It helps them with motor skills, gross motor skills, and fine motor skills. It helps them have the greater ability to focus and concentrate. So that's going to help them in playing sports. So if a child wants to play football, baseball, basketball, golf, tennis, whatever it is that they want to play, they're going to be better if they have been practicing yoga. So, yeah, yoga's for everybody. What I'm going to say to men, especially black men, especially, is that we need to come off this whole thing that you have to be flexible. If you're stiff already, why wouldn't you want to do something that's going to increase your flexibility? You don't have to be flexible to do yoga. You do yoga, and part of the side effects that you're going to gain is increased flexibility, because all that stiffness that you have is stagnation, and that stagnation is what we call premature rigor mortis, because that stagnation comes from locked up energy in your neck, your shoulders, your back, your legs, your hips. And all it's doing is taking you closer and closer to a state which is called being dead. So men, especially black men, need to come away from that type of very limited left brain type of thinking, which is only an outgrowth of our European indoctrination and slave mentality. So if you're thinking like that, that's a slave mentality. And I'm going to finish it by saying that there's a book called Real Men Do Yoga. So you got all of these professional athletes who practice yoga. Kevin Garnett, who plays basketball for the Brooklyn Nets. He played for the Boston Celtics, and he played for the Minnesota Timberwolves. He was most valuable player. He's won an NBA championship. He said that the reason why he was able to become a championship player and win most valuable player was because he started to practice yoga. He's not a wimp. He's not a sissy. He's not whatever, all these different negative words people put on people who do yoga. He's a champion of what he does, and he attributes his yoga practice to making him a champion. That's all I got to say about that. Yoga is for everybody, and everybody needs to do it, and we need to come off with all of that stuff. To put it in a nutshell.
Definitely. Okay, so we've hit the recording mark, and we are into the archive. So anybody who had a question, unfortunately, won't be able to ask it at this point. But I do want you to speak a little bit about the yoga retreats and about the different programs that you have going on at Yoga Skills and any upcoming workshops, events, or anything that you have going on with Yoga Skills.
Well, the next thing that we have coming up is the we're going to be doing a teacher training course in Atlanta, and that teacher training course starts in April 5th and 6th. And so the course is going to take place over a two-month period. And so the dates are April 5th and 6th, April 19th and 20th, May 3rd and 4th, and May 31st and June 1st. And this is going to take place in Atlanta at Firehawk Studio. So one of my dynamic students and now fellow teachers is a sister named Ona Hawk. And so she started at Firehawk Yoga Studio, which is in Atlanta, 675 Metropolitan Parkway, Southwest. And so we decided to use her studio to have our next teacher training course in Atlanta. So, again, that's starting up in April. And all that information is at yogaskills.com. Then we do two annual retreats in Jamaica. And these are 10-day intensive retreats for people to become certified in Kemetic Yoga. And so those retreats are, the next one is going to be July 15th until July 25th, And all the information about that is at yogaskills.com. So that's coming up. I'm also going to be doing a training with Sister Ebony, who lives in Martinique. But the training will be on the island of Guadeloupe. That's starting up in April also. But that's primarily for people who live in that area of the Caribbean. But anybody can come if they want to travel to the Caribbean and do it that way. Then we have a trip that goes to Kemet. We have an annual trip that goes to Kemet. That trip is July 29th until August 9th. And so that's like about a 12-day tour of ancient Kemet that involves a 3-day Nile cruise. We go to every site, all the major sites in Kemet, from the pyramids of Giza in the north all the way down to the Temple of Abu Simbel in the south and every place in between. And we have a 3-day Nile cruise. We're going to practice yoga and meditation. It is not a certification course. It is actually a spiritual, historical, and cultural tour of ancient Kemet, which includes, you know, some yoga practice, some meditation practice. And so those are the things that we have coming up that I can remember. Also, if you're in Chicago, where I live, you can always call me anytime if you want to take a class or if you want to get involved with becoming certified as an instructor.
Okay. And you want to give out the calling number?
My number is 773-396-6613. 773-396-6613. And the website is yogaskills, yogaskills.com.
Okay. Well, you heard it. This was another amazing show, and thank you so much for coming in and speaking about this wonderful subject and shedding a whole bunch of light on the whole topic of Kemetic Yoga. So thank you for calling in, and thank you for being our guest tonight.
Well, thank you for having me, and I look forward to hearing from anybody who wants to contact me, call or email or go to the website or look us up on Facebook. And but again, thank you to your audience, and thanks to you, Ty.
Well, thank you. All right, you're very welcome, and peace. And peace to everybody who has called in. You've been listening into Conversations with the Queen. We do air every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Please join us for next week. We will have another amazing show lined up for you. And don't forget to visit us on conversationswiththequeen.wordpress.com. Again, that's our new blog spot for the newest and latest on history, wellness, culture, and holistic lifestyle. So don't forget to go over there. Again, that's conversationswiththequeen.wordpress.com. You can also like us on Facebook, which is facebook.com/conversationswiththequeen, and follow me, your girl Tae Queen, on Twitter, and that's at Tae Queen, TAEQUEEN. All right, it's been a wonderful night, and I thank you all for calling in and tuning in. This has been another episode of Conversations with the Queen. Peace, y'all. Blessings.